Grace to you and peace from God our Father and from our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. Amen. There was a wealthy businessman who was laying on his deathbed, and the pastor came to visit. He talked about God's healing power, and he prayed for his parishioner. When the pastor was done, the businessman said, "Preacher, if God heals me, I'll give the church $1 million. Miraculously, the businessman got better, and within a few weeks' time, he was out of the hospital. Several months went by. The pastor bumped into the businessman on the sidewalk, and he said, "You know, when you were in the hospital dying, you promised to give the church $1 million if you got well. We haven't received it yet." And the businessman replied, "Did I say that? I guess that goes to show how sick I really was." Today we're going to explore a subject that touches each and every one of us. We continue to look at Jesus at the Sermon on the Mount. And we're going to look at what Jesus says about integrity. In our gospel lesson, Jesus said, "Let your yes be yes and your no, no. Anything beyond this comes from the evil one." Satan is the evil one. Jesus called him the murderer from the beginning, not holding to truth, for there's no truth in him. When he lies, he's speaking in his native language because he's a liar and the father of lies. A person with integrity is validated by their words and their deeds. If we have a pure heart, we can be pure in action. Integrity is made by daily actions lined up with the heart values. Mark Twain said, "Speaking honestly is better. It takes a lot of stress out of our lives. If you tell the truth, you don't have to remember anything. But if you don't tell the truth, you have to remember what you said." Integrity provides us with security, with a greater confidence. Proverbs 10:9 informs us, "The man of integrity walks securely, but he who takes crooked paths will be found out." We live in a society that is virtually without moral absolutes. Anything goes, where people can choose what is right and wrong without having a standard. So how do you decide which way to go? A busload of politicians was headed to a convention. Now that would never happen. But because of highway construction, they had to take a detour down a rural road. It might have been somewhere around here. The driver was having problems with his whiny country lane, and he lost control of the bus. It ran off the road, crashed through a farmer's fence, and hit a tree. Well, the farmer was driving back from town when he noticed this gaping hole in his fence. He went to investigate and saw what had happened, and he went back to his truck, he got a shovel, and buried all the politicians. Well, since the politicians never arrived at their destination, a state trooper was dispatched to locate them. He backtracked their route, followed the country road, saw the wrecked bus in the field, and he looked up where the old farmer was that owned the property, and the trooper asked the farmer where the politicians had gone. The farmer informed the trooper that he had buried all of them. Trooper said, "Didn't you call the coroner? After all, not all of them might have been dead." The old farmer replied, "Well, some of them kept saying they weren't, but you know how their politicians lie." Throughout the scriptures, you'll find the words honesty, purity, truth, upright, and complete. All of these are translated from the same word, which means integrity. They're all synonymous. If we're going to live lives of integrity, we must know what integrity looks like. And that comes from spending time in the scriptures with God. Paul's words to Timothy, 2 Timothy 2:15, be diligent to present yourself approved to God as a workman who does not need to be ashamed, handling accurately the word of truth. If we take time to read and study the Bible and apply the truths that we read to our lives, then we can live lives of integrity. Why? Because the Bible is the only standard for living that is true and unchanging. The Bible is truly our manual. It is the B-I-B-L-E, basic instructions before leaving earth. Walking in integrity means integrating all of what God's Word says into our daily activities. It means that we become doers of the Word. Once there were two brothers who were very rich, but they were also very wicked. Both of them lived lives of sinfulness and debauchery. They used their wealth to cover up a lot of their wickedness. Both of them were members of a local church. And they used their monies to be in positions of influence. Well, the old preacher at this church ended up retiring, and there was a new preacher that had been hired. And that preacher was a man who preached the gospel with zeal and courage, and he lived an exemplary life. And the congregation began to grow at such a rapid rate that they needed to build a new building. Well, just at this time, one of the brothers got sick and died. And the new preacher was asked to do the funeral. The day before the funeral service, the surviving brother pulled the preacher aside and handed him an envelope. And he said, "There's a check in this envelope that's large enough to pay off the new building. All I want you to do is tell all the people at the funeral tomorrow that my brother was a saint. Do you think you can handle that?" Preacher shook the brother's hand and said, "I will do precisely what you asked." Well, the preacher immediately took the check to the bank and deposited the check in the bank in the church's account. The next day, the preacher stood in front of this large group of people who had come to the funeral and said, "This man in the coffin was an ungodly sinner and wicked to the core. He was unfaithful to his wife. He was abusive to his children. He was ruthless in business and a hypocrite in the church. But compared to his brother, he was a saint." A man who kept his word. The fact is that God's word has pretty clear instructions for each of us. If we do what God says and apply what we learn to our lives, we will be people of integrity. We will have hope, we will have guidance, we'll have security, we'll have protection. If we do not apply the scriptures to our lives, we become shallow and empty. Jesus said he calls us to have our yes mean yes and our no mean no. You may recall the Christian scholar and writer C.S. Lewis. He took this truth seriously. In his biography, he tells of the suffering he endured because he kept a promise. A promise that he had made to a buddy during World War I. This friend was worried about the care of his wife and small daughter if he should be killed in battle. And so Lewis assured him that if that were to happen, he would look after them. As the war dragged on, the man was killed. And true to his word, Lewis took care of his friend's family. Yet no matter how helpful he tried to be, the woman was ungrateful, was rude, was arrogant and domineering. And yet through it all, Lewis kept forgiving her. He refused to let her actions become an excuse to renege on his promise. There was a man who dropped off some items at the dry cleaner, and the clerk asked when he would like to pick them up. And he said, "Well, if I can return in an hour to pick them up." Well, she replied, I can't get them back to you until Friday. But there's a huge sign in front that says 1 hour downtown. I thought you did dry cleaning in an hour. Well, no, she replied. That's just the name of the store. We must live up to what we say we are. If we call ourselves Christians, we must live as Christ did in accordance to the Word of God. There are many who have proclaimed that they have accepted Jesus Christ as their Savior and Lord. And if we're honest, like, we like the part Savior, but at times we struggle with allowing Jesus to be the Lord over every aspect of our lives. I'm sure we've all heard the phrase, well, everybody else is doing it. One of those poor rationalizations that justifies we continuing to do it. To be a person of integrity means that you are willing to go against the crowd if the crowd is wrong. It means being willing to stand alone if necessary for what is right. It means peer pressure is no pressure for you. You remember the book by Dr. Seuss, Horton Hatches an Egg? I still remember. I can still see the pictures of a poor Horton. It tells about this elephant named Horton who promises to sit on an egg while its mother, lazy Miss Maisie, made some errands. Well, she didn't just make errands. She took a vacation. It went from days to weeks that went by. And Horton just kept sitting there on the nest up in the tree. All his friends were encouraging him to forget his promise and come down with them and play with them. But do you remember his response over and over again? I meant what I said, and I said what I meant. An elephant is faithful 100%. You know, what could God do with a believer that has that type of commitment, that has that type of integrity? Jesus makes it clear in Matthew 5 that wherever and whenever we make a promise, we do so in the presence of God. When we break a promise, we're not just lying to others or ourselves. We're lying to God. You know, during that time that Jesus was walking among the people, the Pharisees had developed an elaborate set of rules that governed over human beings that were bound by their word, or that they didn't have to be bound by the word. We had a little slice of it in the last part of the reading. You know, if I swear by Jerusalem, they said, I'm not bound by those words. If I swear towards Jerusalem, I'm not bound. Any promise I make using God's name binds me, but if I can avoid using God's name when I make a promise, then I don't have to keep my word. Or so they thought. So they began swearing by anything that sounded like it might seem like something. And the Jewish code, they had a book, a law code, that dealt with making vows and promises, which ones had to be kept and which ones didn't. And we've heard of these similar oaths. Cross my heart, hope to die. Oops, sorry, I had my fingers crossed. I swear on a stack of Bibles. Well, if I'm lying, I'm dying. May lightning strike me if I'm not telling the truth. As God is my witness. Well, I had my own when I was in grade school. I went to a country school, a teacher that taught all first through sixth grades. I had a reading assignment, and we were to read it out loud at home so that we were prepared to read it. Well, one night, I had kind of a scratchy throat. I'm sure I could have gotten through it, but I told Mom, I said, I got this scratchy throat. It's okay that I don't read it. And she released me from my homework. The moment came where my class was called up for the reading lesson. And we'd have to go up, sit at the table. Now, you have to understand, in this country school, there are only like 20-some students. There are only two in my class. And I'm praying that she's not going to call on me. Like, that's not going to happen. So, of course, and it was the page that I definitely didn't want her to ask me to read. Well, when I was called on, evidently I was blotching it up royally. And Miss Olson stopped me and said, Jerry, Did you do your reading assignment last night? And I don't know what got in me. I said, yes. And I did it with as much conviction as I could muster. Are you sure you did your lesson? Oh, yes. I'm digging a hole, okay. Jerry, are you lying? Well, now I got to get out the big guns. I said, no, just ask my sister Joyce. To which, that wasn't going to be left. Miss Olson turned to Joyce, who was standing in the back, and asked, Joyce, did Jerry do his reading assignment last night? To which I'll forever hear ringing in my ears, no. I was really hoping all of a sudden there would be this earthquake that would just split apart and I would get, you know, fall in between and not have to contend with it. But no, I, you know, my word wasn't good enough in terms of yes. And when I called on my sister to do it, she was definitely not going to cooperate. We can do a terrible job and damage our witness, even for the cause of Christ, if we're not people of our word. You know, the world is looking for authenticity wherever they can find it. Our own integrity and the integrity of the church demands nothing less. Today, we hear Jesus' words, let your yes be yes and your no, no. You know, think about it. Jesus faced a gut-wrenching choice of keeping a costly promise. God had promised for thousands of years that he was going to send a Messiah, his son, to save the world through his death and resurrection. But you realize there was a moment of truth that came in the Garden of Gethsemane. Jesus knelt and he was praying. And the tension, the pressure was so great that there were even great drops of blood. And there was that moment that Jesus felt the weight of keeping this promise. And in fact, remember his words as he asked his Father, please let this cup pass from me. Yet Jesus knew what was there and the weight of the promise. He knew that he was to fulfill that promise. And in that moment of truth, when he realized there was no other way, Jesus became what we know as the ultimate promise keeper. We are to be men and women, boys and girls of integrity. Let Jesus be the Lord of every aspect of your life. Yield to the Holy Spirit. Let the Holy Spirit transform you into his image, the image of Jesus. The image of the ultimate promise keeper. The image of Christian integrity. Jesus said, let your yes be yes, your no, no. A Christian is faithful. I meant what I said. I said what I meant. A Christian is faithful 100%. Amen. Now may the peace of God, which passes all human understanding, guard, keep our hearts and minds in Christ Jesus, our Savior and the Lord of our lives. Amen.